goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
Welcome along to Falkirk Daft. How are you feeling out there? I feel a bit like Holly Robbie. How are you doing? After that defeat to Dunfermline in the Scottish Cup semi-final, hopefully you've got over it. It's going to take years for me to get over it personally, but we go again, and we're here to preview the game against Celtic on Saturday evening. I've got my friend, my colleague with me from Bowie at Breakfast. It's producer Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Good morning, John, or afternoon, whenever you're listening to the podcast.
See, a good podcast part of that. Yes. I appreciate that. You're going to be, Ross isn't with us, so you just got to stay for the whole show before we preview the Celtic bit. But you can just feel free to chip in when I'm going through all my usual banter about Cop News and all that.
If you're still talking about the game last weekend, I've got a lot to say about that as
no,
well.
We're sweeping that under the carpet now. Okay. Right, let's go quick birthday corner because we missed a couple on Sunday because we're too depressed. Chris Hines, thank you very much, Chris. He got in touch with us. I'm glad you remembered to do this, Chris. Happy birthday to Auntie Jo. That's from Kate and Harris. Jo Hines, our friend. By the way, Joe, he's protected your innocence. He's not put your age there, but I'm guessing you're probably now 49. So we'll just put you down for that, Joe. Is it happy birthday, Joe? She's not really. She'll batter me for that.
That's a bit dangerous for you.
It is. So happy birthday, Joe. Another one that we didn't get to is from Andrew. Says, hi, can you put out a shout to my son, Craig Ballantyne, who will be 26 on the 21st of April. So happy belated birthday to yourself, Craig. Looking forward to a trip down to Aberdeenshire on Saturday, to Hampden for the semi-final. Yeah, we'll just skip over that, but that was belated. So happy birthday, Craig. Hope you didn't get the present that you wanted, but there you go. Bit of club news. Let's go back to the semi-final. The club put out a statement afterwards. I'll read a bit of it. Everyone at the club wants to acknowledge the heart and disappointment we feel after the semi-final. The fans put so much into the occasion, financially and emotionally, the tifo and subsequently tidy up and impeccable behaviour at the stadium. As ever, you gave all your team and everyone at the club thanks for backing them in such numbers, with such noise and colour. As John said, we weren't at our best and the result was a bitter disappointment. We have to own that as a club. We stand together and fall together from the boardroom to the dressing room. It was really nice. It was really, really nice. And it was, but see on a Monday when you're feeling the pain, you don't want to see that. And it just gave more ammunition to Dunfermline. And I was just like, that's the one thing.
Also,
but it was really nice.
Why are you putting out a statement? Because you lost a game.
I know.
Like we'll go on to the fact that I'm a Celtic fan. We've been beaten by Rangers before. I don't expect statements.
Oh, Celtic
to come
and
out.
Rangers love statements, though.
Well, yes, yeah, but yes. Not when you get beat by the other one.
So I was a bit like, oh, you didn't need to do that, guys. It just gave a bit of ammunition to Dunfermline. But yeah, in saying that, though, the club's communication has been outstanding. It's been really, really good. But I just thought that was just a step too far. We got beat off Dunfermline, but we go again. You guys still aren't out over it as well. A lot of people watching the review, including a lot of Pars fans, obviously, as well. Atwell, she says, fans that turned up, players didn't. First time this season, I felt disgusted at the team. Not one player played well or put the required effort in, which is baffling given the magnitude of the game. Have to move on now, but cannot excuse the performance in that, given how expensive it was for the fans. Nelly says, just a terrible game of football and the Pars won the lottery of penalties. I know I've been banned from saying the word lottery penalties, but anyway, fair play to them. Len had our number and McGuinn struggles against bigger physical teams, as we've seen on occasions playing St Mirren and Livingston. John needs to address this. We play pretty football and have had tremendous season, but if a team doesn't let us play our game, we will struggle. Colin says, Tate and Brogio were garbage, subs were dreadful, taking Yates off before Tate and Brogio was a disgrace. All right. Sammy says, Dunfermline done a number on us. He deserved that 100%. This was a chance to create history for our club, and it was against our biggest, bitterest rivals, and our team bottled it. And I went out with a whimper. That's what hurts the most. If we had went out 4-3 after a barnstormer game with loads of talking points, it would be easier to take. No dodgy decisions from the ref to moan about, no slices of bad luck, no glaring misses in front of goal, no composure, no passion, no grit. The worst game of football I have watched in years. That was our fault, not Dunfermline's. We failed to adapt again, in capitals there, against BJG, I don't know what that means, but... I think that was maybe big physical team. Big physical team. And got done like a kipper. Yes, I thought some sort of young person talked that.
Make up your own acronyms.
A BGJG, I don't know what that was. Anyway, yes, we have had an amazing highs the last few years. John and his team have performed wonders and deserve their flowers. But this is one we can never forget or forgive. The players will be gutted on a professional level, but us, the fans, will carry the scar forever. The fans yesterday were phenomenal. The only positive from yesterday. We'll forget about it. It didn't happen.
I will say, I missed the game. I seen a little bit at the start and a little bit at the end, but I missed the majority of the game. But I did see the TIFO beforehand, and I will give props for the TIFO. That was very, very nice to see.
Well done, Gate 20.
Yes.
Well done, Gate 20. And we'll talk about this more on Sunday when Ross is back, but Falkirk are delighted to announce that alongside the foundation, that the foundation's women's first team will now become part of Falkirk Football Club, which is amazing. We've been massive supporters of the women's team here, and it's great to hear that. Love to hear a wee bit more what's going on in the background with that. But the statement goes on to say, from the beginning of the 26-27 season, the team will compete under the name Falkirk FC Women, making an important next step for the women's game in Falkirk. Following positive discussions between Falkirk FC, Falkirk Foundation and the women's first team, it was agreed that the time is right for the team to become part of Falkirk FC and continue its growth. We'll dig deeper on this. I'd love to speak to some of the people involved. Hopefully arrange that for Sunday, because it's great. We've been massive supporters of the women's team, and it's great to see that. And they're still thereabouts for promotion as well. Some big games coming up. All the details, we'll have that very, very soon. But that's great news. Really, really good news. Great to see that. And great for the women's game in Falkirk. Before we get in to talk about Celtic with Ryan, let's say thank you very much to Carpetways, sponsoring this week episode. Phil set up the business in Falkirk 25 years ago, and they are doing that amazing deal. Get this, Ryan. You're going to get all your carpets, your full house done for £799.
What?
Aye.
Oh, man. I spent far more than that when I get my carpets for the house. So,
mate, you could have went to Carpetways in Falkirk.
I might need you now.
There you go. Carpetways.com/Falkirk is where you want to go. Recently winning the Scotland's Business Award for the best multi-site flooring and carpet business in Scotland. So you know they are good. It's just opposite the old Costa del the Martel, which is... I think it's now called the Rosebank Rooms, but it's inside the Sovereign Buildings next to Lazy Day Sofas on Burnbank Road, just off of Graham's Road in Bainsford. So get yourself down there, and if you're looking to sort out your garden, they're doing artificial grass is there as well. You can get 20mm to 40mm thick. It means no mowing. Have you got an artificial garden?
I have got grass in the garden, and I hate it.
Well, despise it. Get yourself down to Carpetways, mate. You're going to have no mowing, no mud, no mess, and you're getting prices from £9.99 per square meter. How many square meters of garden you got?
I have no idea.
Right, we'll get your measuring tape.
Right, I'll work that out.
You can do that. There you go. So get down to carpetways.com/Falkirk or head down to the store on Burnbank Road. So thanks very much to all the team at Carpetways for sponsoring this week's episode. And I heard they've actually had some good business out of it as well. So thank you very much to Carpetways in Falkirk for that. Right, let's talk Celtic now and get Dunfermline out the way once and for all. And we're going to do that, obviously, with Ryan, who joins us today. Just Ryan.
Currently trying to work out what my garden is. Meters squared.
Right.
I'm on... 75 metres squared.
75 metres squared. So there you go. That's £750. You probably...
That's not bad.
That's all right. You get that done.
Anyway.
Name on one. Anyway, Celtic. Let's talk about Celtic. Right. Ryan. We've not had a great record against Celtic. We didn't get to play the Wilfred Nancy team, unfortunately. We missed out on that. We've got to play Martin O'Neill when he returned and battered us 4-0. We've got to play Brendan Rodgers a couple of times. And then we obviously got to play Martin O'Neill at the stadium. As well, and we narrowly got beat 1-0 in that game. But it's been all Celtic so far this season against us. But you've not had it that way against pretty much every other team, really.
We've actually not even had it that much against you. We've got the results, but the performances in every game this season have been terrible.
Oh, the 4-0, he's pretty much hammered us that
day. That was a, okay, that was a good
that was
feeling.
That was the O'Neill return. That was a good feeling. Vibe, yeah.
We were there, actually, me and you went to that game, and I've never seen you look so unhappy with a free pint in front of you. You were gutted, but... yeah, I mean, that game is probably a one-off for the season. We haven't had many results like that against anybody this season. There's been the odd kind of performance here and there, but overall, we've been terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, obviously, you know, Rodgers, O'Neill, Nonsi, back to O'Neill. It's just been so much disruption. But has it been the management, or has it just been the recruitment and the players that you've got in the squad?
It's been a mixture of everything. I think the start of the season... results weren't going very well, and people were going, ah, Rodgers is working his ticket, he's going to go. And then he eventually went, and O'Neill came in, you got the bounce. Then you got Nancy, because O'Neill was never going to stay for the season. You got Nancy, and you thought, oh, let's see how this one goes. One game in, you're like, this is terrible, get rid of him. But then he goes, and O'Neill comes back in, and the performances haven't massively changed. Okay, we're getting results now, because we're playing four at the back.
Yeah.
But that's really the only difference, the performances overall. The performances under Nancy... weren't bad overall.
Football, in fairness, the football was actually, they were knocking it about well. I mean, Martin O'Neill, you know what you're getting with Martin O'Neill. Yeah. He's not really moved on dynamically, I would say, as a manager, having watched Celtic a good few times under him.
No, and I think that's the annoying thing we're seeing just now, is that it doesn't look like I think he came out last week and said, there's things I want to do with this team, but the players don't want to do it. They're stuck in their ways, and that's annoying for me. And that's what he said. And I'm like, all right, so the players are just telling him how they want to play. So you're kind of like, what is his job then? Like, what is he doing? Okay, fair enough, he's there for the vibes, right? He's keeping keeping the energy.
I don't think
up.
Martin O'Neill used that term. I'm here for the vibes.
No,
by
but
the
I'm
way.
Using that term. But he's basically there keeping everything afloat, keeping the vibes up, as I say, keeping people positive and stuff like that. But tactically wise, nothing's been great since, I would say, since Rodgers left. It's been terrible across all managers, really. And he was just kind of grinding out results, which sometimes bites you in the
backside. Is it tactics, or is it the players that you've got at your disposal?
Again, it's a mixture of both. I think that if you look at the squad we've got, the players aren't, they're not terrible players, right? They're decent enough players. They were good before. You know, players like Hatate and stuff like that as well. Negan, I'm a Negan fan. I know a lot of folk aren't, but I think he brings a lot to the team that people don't...
He brings goals,
but he also brings a lot that people don't really notice as well. Okay, fair enough, he goes hiding, but I feel that when Negan has a game where he goes hiding, the whole team go hiding as well.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets a bit of a bad rap for stuff I don't think he should get a bad rap for, to be honest with you. So, I think it's a terrible combination of everything for us just now, but we're still somehow 3 points off the top.
But I mean, you look at when you look at the injuries you have had, I mean, as someone pointed out, like, you've got a lot of starters. So, like, Kasper Schmeichel, that he's done at Celtic. Alistair Johnson's a certain starter. Cameron Carter-Vickers, certain starter. Jota, a certain starter. You've just had it really pretty bad with injuries, you know?
Even our backup right back, Araujo, he's away now as well. He's out for the season.
He's done as well. So you're on to Anthony Ralston. you're down to Anthony Ralston now. You should, in fairness, scored a cracking goal against St. Mirren.
He had a great game at the weekend, but Ralston has one good game in every 15.
Yeah.
It's not like you can go, oh, Ralston's back, he's going to be the choice now. Like, I still would prefer Donovan to play over him, but I can't take away from what he done at the weekend. He was great.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I guess like, you've struggled for goals. You look at down the table actually, and you've got what Celtic are at 459, like, comparison to Falkirk's 445. So you have got goals, but it's not really come from your forwards. It's
somebody
like,
worked out the other day on a different Celtic podcast that I listened to, that at this stage of the season, we are currently something like 35 goals behind where we were last season. So it's obvious, you know, where we're lacking. You know, we've got strikers who can't score goals.
I mean, the guys that you brought in January as well, to try and solve that problem, Adamu,
Gone.
He's gone.
He's not even going to look in now.
Yeah. Banchara as well.
He had an injury, I think.
Right.
After the Rangers game. And then he came back and then he's kind of not been seen since. So I don't know if there's something else there. But
Joel Invuka. I mean, these players like Joel Invuka, Tanecki, Balakwisha, who you brought in for 5 million.
Invuka we've got on loan. Thankfully, we nearly spent 4 million on Invuka. And then something showed up that he needed surgery for something and he's medical. So we decided we'll just loan him instead. Yeah. And he came on, he played that first game for 45 minutes and he was mince, he got hooked. And then he came on against Rangers and probably the most comedic performance I've ever seen in my life. I was working in here at the time and we were watching it on the screen. I remember Gordon Duncan looked at me, he was like, what is going on? Like, watching this guy, it's like he's never played football before.
Yeah, yeah, terrible. Yeah. There's a lot of people commented on that as well. It's like, but yeah, I mean, there's been a couple, I guess Yang's been a bright spark for Celtic. He's, you know, kind of turned up, like say Nygren's got goals. Maeda's been up and down like a fiddler's elbow.
I think, is it, Maeda scored something like 1 in 20. He scored like 1 goal in his last 20 games or something like that I seen the other day.
Aye.
Which is, that's not the same guy for last season.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, we know that he wanted to leave. Right. The one thing I will say is that even though he wanted to leave, he hasn't down tools. He's not performed the same level, but he hasn't down tools like people have in the past. He's still dicing. He's still doing those mad runs.
Well, he saw his goal that he got against St Mirren.
Yeah, goal against St Mirren, but also the one that he set up for, I think it was Negrin as well, when he robbed it off the right back and cut it across the rail. So he's still doing that later on. 95th minute, I think it was as well. I seen him sprinting back, chasing the ball. So he's still giving a lot to the team. He's just not had that same kind of goal return, which I think is kind of hampering people's thoughts on him.
So if Falkirk had to get something from this game, where can Falkirk get at Celtic? Is it in midfield? Is it up front?
I think it's down the wings, to be fair.
Down
I think if we go with the team that I think we'll go with, which will be Rowson and Tierney. Tierney didn't look great at the weekend against St Mirren. So I think if you've got a bit of pace
Wilson
down there, which you have as well.
So yeah, Kyrie Wilson.
So you've got Wilson's at Miller play the other side as well.
Miller plays the other side,
So I think if you can get both of them and you can put a ball in the box, like our defenders aren't... Trusty is... He'll have one great game and you'll think, oh, Trusty's amazing. And then he'll have a couple of bomb scare games.
Mm-hmm.
So you balls in the box are always our...
And obviously Barney Stewart, you know, what we did struggle with on at the weekend there was getting it to the wings and getting delivery into the box for Barney. But what we did struggle, we always struggle, and like a couple of our comments said, is we struggle against that three at the back. So coming up against the four, that's good. That'll help us.
Yeah, I think Tierney, for me just now, I wouldn't play Tierney personally. I'd play Sarachi ahead of him because I think he gives you a lot more just now than what Tierney does. I also think... In the midfield, if we play McGregor, which I don't think we should, I think McGregor should be taken out of the team just now.
Really? Wow.
I've seen a lot of people complaining about what he brings to the team now compared to what it has in the past. And I think it's quite obvious, especially that game at the weekend, you're looking at certain things where McGregor's getting absolutely caned just now for pointing. Captain Pointer, people are calling him, because he's always pointing back. So you get the ball, he's going right there to pass back to the defender, and you're watching the game going, no, drive forward. Like, that's how you're going to score goals, mate. But he's very much like that. He's carrying a knock, I think. He's definitely carrying something, which he's telling the manager, no, I'm good to go. But I think sometimes you need to go, take him out. Let him come on late. Mm-hmm. Let him come on for the last half an hour if you want to get that kind of bit of pace from him. But I think if he plays just now, he's somebody you can definitely get at just now, because I think he is carrying something. He's not the Callum McGregor of old.
No,
basically.
I mean, we have heard through the grapevine that we've got a few injuries as well. Wait and see what that team lineup, and I'm sure John McGuinn will address it in his interview pre-match as well. But I have heard we're maybe three or four injuries after the weekend there, one being a very bad one. But I'll wait and see if John McGuinn confirms it or not. But yeah, that's that could be a problem for us at the weekend. But I'll be interested to see how the game goes. Like I say, the last time we played you at the stadium was at Celtic Park we got beat 2-0, but at our place we got beat, 1-0, and it was a really tight game. Nygren getting a goal from that, and we had missed a barrel of chances. Schmeichel had a great save from Ethan Williams as well. How do you see it going this weekend then? 5:30 kick off at Celtic Park.
I have basically made my mind up that we are going to, can we swear on this podcast?
Yes, of course, yeah.
We are going to shithouse our way to this league.
Right.
We are going to shithouse 1-0s every single week now. The worst performances you've ever seen from a team. We're going to defend for our life. We're going to get 1-0 scrappy wins, and we're somehow going to go over the line. That's just I've just got a feeling about it, because there's no way we should be in the title challenge just now, and there's 3 points in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. As we've said, Falkirk, it's going to be it's an uphill struggle. You know, we need to beat Hibs at Motherwell at home, and we need to see if we can squeeze a point out of either Celtic, Rangers, or Hearts. That's what we've got ahead of us, because we're 5 points behind Hibs. If we beat Hibs, we beat Motherwell, there's a good chance if we get a point against you guys, mm-hmm. it depends how it goes at the weekend. If Hibs go and beat Hearts at the weekend, games on for the title and games on, and we're pretty much done if we get beat off you guys.
Do you think the last two results are going to hamper you a little bit?
I do think it's now just crawling across. It might be a case of crawling across the finishing line. John will not have that mentality, though. Because I think the fans are really, really hurting at the moment after those two results, you know, being 2-0 up against Rangers and then throwing it away, especially in that second half, and then against Dunfermline losing out on penalties against your bitter rivals. It's hard to take in the stands, but in that dressing room, that will not be the message. And I'm sure the guys will be going out with full thunders. Because we've still got a European place to play for if Celtic go on to beat Dunfermline, and we can hopefully get wins against Motherwell and Hibs. Again, it's a free hit this weekend for us, effectively, because you're not expected to go there and win. But I'll never back against Falkirk, and I'll say it'll probably end 1-1.
Go for a 1-1.
Barney Stewart come back in the score sheet.
I think it's going to be a 1-0 like it has been previously, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we get the team right. So see the team who finished the game.
Well, look at the St Mirren game. Like, it was like he was poor and then went out in that. God knows what happened to Celtic in that first half of extra time.
I think if Iheanacho stays fit and does stay fit, he will be the one that will get us the title. I think if he can stay fit, and we said at the weekends, me and my pals were like, just tell him not to run, don't go anywhere, he done one mental run up the park, and I was like, Camden, your hammy is hanging on by a thread, son, right? I was like, just you stay up the top near the box, wait for the boys to come in and just be clinical, and if he can do that, I think he will get goals.
Brilliant.
The problem is he's dropping too deep.
Well, there you go. 1-0 for Ryan, 1-1 for me. We'll wait and see how it goes there. Where should Falkirk supporters go to drink beforehand? I don't think there's a lot of supporter buses going because of just there's a lot of supporters' dues on the Saturday night. So I don't think there's going to be. So I think you'll be okay getting a ticket for this game. But if they are heading through by train, where should the guys go to drink?
I'm assuming you don't want Celtic pubs.
No, not really, no.
Where do I like drinking in a town that's not a Celtic pub?
There's very few places.
There's very few.
You're just going through Kitty O'Shea's.
Kitty O'Shea's, Mullins, Gracie's, none of these pubs.
Yeah.
What a plug, by the way, for them. Where can you go for a couple of pints? I think if you're getting the train through to Queen Street, the Arc is quite good.
The Arc's all right.
Arc's good. I mean, you can also go to Spoons, you go to Count House, that's quite good as well.
Anytime you go beyond Glasgow Cross, you're basically in Celtic territory, aren't you?
Probably just before that, I think if you go to Committee Room,
Committee Room.
It's quite nice in there for a pint. You've got Brewdog around the corner as well, and I think after that, it then becomes kind of Celtic territory.
Well, there you go. There's a couple of pubs for you. I'm sure you know Glasgow better than anyone. Anyway, Ryan, thank you very much for joining us, but we're not going to get away that easy. We're going to do the How Well Do You Know Your Team quiz. So you've got 60 seconds on the clock. It's like the 5K minute. You know that off by heart.
Can I phone my pal Scott? He's great at this kind of stuff.
No, you can't. There's a couple of names on this leaderboard you'll want to beat. Top of the tree, by the way, Callum Bell, our former colleague, he's on 8 points, as is in our current colleague Jay Blakeley. He got 8 points for Rangers. I know.
I am going to tell you right now, I will be terrible at this.
Stephen Purden, our friend, 3 points.
Three
points. And you and Cameron had a mixed bag. You got 6 points at 1 point, 3 points at the other point.
Was that for Rangers and Hearts?
Exactly. And you got 6 points for the Rangers question. So there you go. Bye. Couple of names that you probably want to beat. Toll, representing Celtic the last time.
Yep.
7 points. So there you go.
What are we talking here? Is this like current season or is this history?
This is just general Celtic trivia.
Right, okay.
Right,
fine.
Okay, right, you
I'm
ready?
Rubbish at this bit.
I want to put 60 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was Celtic's first manager?
Oh, Willie Mealy.
And what year were Celtic founded?
1888.
Who was Celtic captain prior to Callum McGregor?
Scott Brown.
Name any of the first team coaches currently at Celtic.
Sean Maloney.
How many league cups have Celtic won?
42.
Which player is Celtic's most expensive transfer out of the club?
Out of the club would be Jota.
The first black player to play for Celtic was the dad of which musician?
Oh, I'm going to kick myself. Pass.
Which team did Celtic sign Henrik Larsson from?
Feyenoord.
Mike Nairocki, remember him, is currently on loan at which club?
Hanover.
How many games between 2001 and 2004 did Celtic go unbeaten for?
58.
Go back to first back player to play for Celtic, whose dad was a musician.
I can't even think. I know it as well.
Your time's up. Time's up. Gil Scott-Heron, because his dad was Gil Heron.
Yeah.
Who played, I think it was 47 or something like that, from the United Birds. Gil Scott-Heron, what a... He has some tunes. Right, go through the answers for you. Bolly Mally, you got Celtic founded in 1887. November 6, 1887.
Come on.
Is that wee bit of a trick? You got 1888 on the badge, but I think that was the first season, was 1888.
Okay.
So there you go. Scott Brown, yep. First team coaches. It's John Maloney's assistant manager. First team coaches.
No, he's not.
Yes, Mark Fotheringham and Sean Maloney.
Sean Maloney's a coach. We don't have an assistant manager.
Wikipedia that bad boy.
We do not have an assistant manager.
Wikipedia that boy.
No.
Celtic first team coaches are Stephen McManus and Gavin Strachan. You don't believe me.
No, I don't.
You don't believe me.
That is not
according to Wikipedia.
Let's not trust Wikipedia.
Right, okay.
Celtic
you go.
Staff. Let's go to the Celtic website.
To Celtic staff, right, okay.
Let's see. Celtic website, men's squad and player. Let's see. You can edit this.
No, please. I'm editing this. This is great podcasting.
Oh, wait. The Celtic John Kennedy, assistant manager stuff. Good job, Celtic.
Right, anyway, I'll show you. There you go. There's the proof of Wikipedia.
I'm not trusting Wikipedia. You're not, right, I okay. am not trusting
well,
Wikipedia.
We can get back to you on that one. How many league cups have Celtic won? 22. The most expensive transfer out of the cup was Kieran Tierney.
Was Jota not more expensive than him?
I don't think so.
I thought Jota went for like 27.
Jota just nipped him. It was, I think Tierney was 25, wasn't he?
I think Jota was 27. To Saudi.
Wikipedia, your Celtic Wikipedia needs updated then. Feyenoord, Mike Norocki, you got that. Well done, the forgotten man. And it was 77 games that you went unbeaten for between 2001 and 2004. So it does give you a score of 4, but we'll go to VAR on the Kieran Tierney one.
Let me see.
Are you going to transfer? Are you going to transfer?
Jota was also 25 million.
Ah, right, okay. I'm feeling good there. I'll give you the 5.
I need to get that.
I'll give you the 5. Give you the 5. So that puts you on the leaderboard, and you've at 5 points alongside who have we got in there? We've got Ross Turnbull, who's representing St Mirren. There you go. Stephen Rayside with Motherwell, and Jim Galloway, who was doing Dundee. So there you go. 5 points. So mid table respectability.
Fair enough.
Brian. Brilliant. Listen, thanks so much for coming on Folkadaf. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And thank you very much for watching or listening. Thanks to our sponsors, Carpet Ways, sponsoring this episode. Remember, get that deal, $799 for your full house getting done. And also thanks to our continued sponsors from Falkirk Football Fans and Training, and also Behind the Wall. And you like Behind the Wall, Brian? You've taken me there.
No, you've never taken me.
Have they taken Behind the
Wall? Haven't been yet. No,
right,
I'm still waiting for
the
show.
Falkirk Daft Venoms all around. Thank you very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back on Sunday to review the Celtic game. Remember, subscribe, like and subscribe, like and subscribe below. And you can get us wherever you get your podcast, well, all the usual podcast chat there. Buy merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and join the Discord below. If you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, you can drop us an email, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Right, that's it for Falkirk Daft. Onwards to Celtic Park. We'll see you in the next one, and expect the unexpected.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training.